Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. That again is Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. And it reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word."
Let's all say amen. It's good to see this audience that's here with us this morning. Help, trust, and pray that you have all come so that you can hear the word of God preached to you in its entirety, and that you can see the unsearchable riches of God's glory and God's grace as it is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. This morning, we have the pleasure of introducing to you Brother Victor Frazier. He's from Corpus Christi, Texas. He's a minister at the Flower Bluff Church of Christ in Corpus Christi. He's also an instructor at the college university there, where he's able to teach Bible to young people. I think you also teach out on the Navy base as well. And so Brother Frazier, he's a speaker and also often a lecturer and does gospel meetings. You can look on YouTube and see him speak at the Texas State Lectureship. So I think you're in for a treat this morning, Brother Victor Frazier of the Flower Birth Church of Christ in Corpus Christi, Texas. Of course, he's a father-in-law of Brother Darvin, the father of Sister Valerie Robinson, and so we just appreciate him being here. He was here with us in December, and so when I heard he was coming back in the area, the elders, me and Brother Maxwell, decided to invite him to come and speak to us again today. It's a treat to have him here. So I think it's a rare time that Greg is here when we have a guest speaker, that Greg is able to relax and actually hear somebody who's preached. Usually somebody that's up here means Greg is gone, but Greg is actually here. So we're thankful for that he's safe and he's here. So at this time, we want to bring to you, introduce to others, Brother Victor Frazier of Corpus Christi, Texas.
Good morning. This is for tall men. But we will make it. It's a pleasure to be here. And having come, I received an extra pleasure, and I will, by this extra pleasure, let my wife know I have adopted another child in the person of, she might beat me up if I say her name, but Alan is her husband. He is the tall, ugly guy back there with blue on. And Bellamy, I wasn't supposed to say her name, but they are here, and I'll tell you, they are some strong Christians. They are in Bahrain, if I call that name right, and over approximately $1,000 a month they send to us. They were members of the congregation where I'm still preaching, and they must love us, although I argue with Bellamy all the time. But it's a blessing to have them here, and I think that Darvin knew that they were going to be here, and he just didn't tell me, but that's all right. I'll get him back. It's good to see you, and I must say, the last time I was here, I don't know which elder brought a magnificent lesson, very inspiring, and I think I've heard your minister before. I was here a time before then, and he too brought a magnificent lesson. So I'm in the presence of people who are able to stand before you and bring great lessons, and I hope that we can bring some message that will be helpful to you in light of living the life that God wants you to live. I called this when I was asked, well, what do you want, what subject is this? And I called this a subject of running the race as you fight the fight. You might say, well, where'd you get that from? I got this from a boxer that you all know about. He was fighting against Sonny Liston. He said, that big ugly bear I hate, he's going down in round 8. But after the first 3 rounds, Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali said, throw out the towel because I can't see. He thought something was on his glove that was put there, and he was ready to give up. But his trainer told him, don't give up, and he would not throw out the towel. Now, why am I saying all this? I have been preaching long enough, And I've been in schools long enough to know that an audience like this, or even a small audience, suffer a whole lot of pain and doubt and misgivings, and they're wondering how they're going to pay this bill or that bill, or whether their child is going to do what is right or wrong. A lot of things happen to us, and we kind of worry about it a great deal. So I want to talk about running the race without throwing out the towel. Don't throw out the towel. And I say that because we also have people who just give up. You wonder, where is Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so? And we don't know where they are, but we know that they suffered something that they just decided to give up. Church, we can't have that. Let's try our best to encourage what this message is all about. You can run the race without throwing out the towel. You can't throw out the towel. If you throw out the towel, you lose. So that's the whole idea of what we want to talk about, in case I don't finish it, because I'm not crazy enough to hold you too long, knowing that you're going to eat right after now. But we want to encourage you to keep running the race without throwing out the towel. There are a lot of people who have given up on themselves, given up on the Lord, and they decided, I just can't make it. I just can't get it done. Well, you can get it done. And the first thing I want to remind you of is that you can get it done because God is a part of what you ought to be all about. Let me tell you this way. The preacher was talking, and he was talking about the fact that he had gone to a revival and he had gotten home and he kissed his wife, and he says, where's the baby? She said, she's upstairs and she's in her crib because she hasn't been acting right. And he said, well, I'm going. She said, don't take her out of that crib. Don't take her out of the crib. And going upstairs, you know how we as men are, we kind of, our ego kind of get the best of us. And he was thinking, that's my child. Tell me, don't take my child out of my crib, out of the crib. That's my child. He got upstairs and she held out her hands and cried out his name, Dada, Dada. And he remembered, however, the words of his wife, don't take her out of that crib. She has not been acting good. You know what he did? He didn't take her out of the crib. He got in the crib with her. Now that's what I want you to know. Behind just about every face, there are problems. There are doubts. There's worry. And we must understand, I'm talking to people now who have doubts and who have problems and who have worry. And sometimes you hear the term hurry, worry, and bury. Jesus, our Lord, he may not take us out of the hurry, worry, and bury, but he gets in there with us. Give God a chance to work out in your life what you cannot work out. He is there with you. Let me put it to you this way. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. Now get this. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple.
Yes.
Man, what are you talking about? How can I understand that? Well, when we go to the Old Testament, and even during the time of Jesus, when the temple for his people were still there, Jesus went into the temple and he saw things that he did not like, and he whipped them out of the temple. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it out of a den of thieves and robbers. That they were having a money exchanging table there, whereas they could make a profit. If you came from a long ways in order to get an animal, you didn't want to bring the animal with you. You wanted to buy one, you could buy it, but you had to exchange the money. They made a profit from that. They made a profit from the animals themselves. If you're going to buy a sheep, you had to buy that sheep there. And the Bible does not exactly say this, but I do believe that one of the things that happens there is that if you had a sheep,
Oh, get this, please. If you had a sheep that you were raising, that you were helping, and that you were encouraging to grow, and you began to love that sheep. You began to love that sheep, and you don't want to take that sheep all the way to Jerusalem to be crucified. What do? You wait till you get there, and you buy a sheep that you don't know, and you can easily take that sheep because you have not been with that sheep. Well, I think that's what happened. Now, that the Bible didn't say that, but I think that's what was happening. You don't want to be muzzling a sheep that you love to slaughter. You'll get a sheep that you don't know and bring that sheep to slaughter. But that's not my point. My point is when you get a sheep and you take that sheep and you buy that sheep, you then can offer that sheep at the temple for the sacrifice of sin. Now, Old Testament. I'm saying this fast because I got a lot of things here I want to say, and I don't want to hold you up too long. But in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats were issued for the sins of the people. In the New Testament, you know whose body is there. Jesus Christ died for me. He died for you. In the New Testament, the sheep that we have in the New Testament is Christ himself, being led as a sheep to the slaughter. Now, when you see this picture, when you see what's going on, remember I said in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. Jesus walked in that temple and he saw what was happening. It upset him because that's the temple of God, and he drove them out. Get that? Well, what about the New Testament, preacher? In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Well, what in the world do you mean? I'm saying that you, as a child of God, you are the temple. Well, wait a minute now. I'm the temple? Yes. How am I the temple, and what connections do we have there? Now, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, let me give you that connection. On the day of Pentecost, the Church of Christ was first established. Am I correct? Yes. On the day of Pentecost, it had been prophesied about the church. Am I correct? Yes. On the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment about the church was made. Am I correct? Now, yes, I teach at St. Leo University part-time at the base, but my other job is working at Texas A&M as an advisor for those who are graduating in the field of education. But now, going back to what's happening here, as we look at the Old Testament and New Testament differences, God had a temple for his people, and you could go to the temple, and you could worship in the temple, and you could sacrifice in the temple, and all of that. But now, Brother Frazier, how is it that now God has a people for his temple? I'll tell you. You ask good questions. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, follow this. The Bible tells us that we are to hear the gospel of Christ. We ought to believe it. We ought to repent of our sins. We ought to confess Christ as being the Son of God. If you're not sure about where I went with that, ask somebody. But I'm going on with it for the sake of time. Then you ought to be baptized for the taking away of your sins. Well, what happens? Peter, say something to us. The Bible tells us that when they had heard the preaching of Peter and others, that Jesus died for their sins, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. The Bible says, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now listen to what Peter says. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." This baptism is not a pouring on of water. It is not a sprinkling of water. Let me just pause here. At the university, there are times when some of my brothers, not where I preach, but some of my brothers in Christ don't understand what's going on. What do you mean, Frazier? I mean that I hear, how can he stay at a university for 15 years teaching at a Catholic university and not get fired? Well, it's very simple. I preach the word of God. I tell what God's word has said. And in doing that, I do get people who will try to trick me or find out how much I might know. I do get students, and these are military personnel, most of them who will say, "Well, I don't believe in the Bible." I must pause and say this. One thing I ask them without arguing with them, "Well, do you know what nation will be in power 100 years from now?" Man, are you crazy? How am I going to know? what nation will be in power? Well, the word of God tells you about the empowerment of the church of Jesus Christ many, many years before the church of Jesus Christ existed. Before Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what does that have to do? If you cannot predict, this shows you that the Bible has to be the inspired word of God. Listen to Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What else? You go to Daniel chapter 2, I believe, where as Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he could not remember what the dream was all about, but he was able to get somebody to interpret the dream, a dream that had a head of gold, an image, a breast and arm of silver, belly and thigh of brass, feet and legs, part iron and part clay. Well, what happened? What about all this? This was a prophecy concerning the coming of the kingdom of God, which is the church of Jesus Christ. This was a fulfillment of what Jesus said when he said, upon this rock that I am the Christ, the Son of God, I'm going to build my church. Now, let me just tell you that. I've said that, and I'm sure your preacher have said that. And then I can just picture some of the ladies now rocking and say, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I don't fight no religion. I don't fight no church.
And I say to them, God fought churches.
Read Revelation, and there was a church that was lukewarm. God said, I will spew you out of my mouth. There was a church that taught false doctrine. God said, you better straighten up your act or you won't be mine. There was a church that had that churches that had problems. Those two, and there was another one. And your preacher, he's smart. He can tell you the rest of it. But you see, God straightened out churches. Why would you fold your arm and say, whatever the Bible says, I'm going to just stay as I am? Do you see what I'm saying here? You got to stand for what is true. But what are we saying when we talk about run to win and don't throw in the towel? We are talking about now we have New Testament Christianity. And when Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. What is the Holy Spirit to do? The Holy Spirit is to empower you beyond the power that you do not have. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. You know you have those things, but you need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit empowers me. It is God's connection with me. That's the only way that the connection of God will come. Amen. With me. Well, how can it come with me? There has to be a holy connection. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me give an example of this. As great as the Apostle Paul was, and we know that he was a strong leader for the church and for Christ. In Romans, Paul wrote a letter trying to get the Jews to move away from Judaism for their salvation, to move away from saying, I'll accept both, into moving and depending solely upon Jesus Christ. He talks about being buried with Christ in baptism, chapter 6. In chapter 7, he talks about the fact that he, when he would want to do good, he didn't always do it. Wait a minute, Paul? Yes, Paul. And that which he did not want to do, he found himself doing it. Paul? Yes, Paul. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now get this. He did not say, what shall deliver me? He said, who shall deliver me? Now Paul answered, who shall deliver you? In chapter 8, he said, there is now, isn't this beautiful? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How can you walk after the Spirit? Because Peter promised, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's holy connection is with you and in you and to your life when you repent and be baptized and you become a member of His church. God's holy connection is there.
Thank you.
It's there. So one of the things I tell my class, one of my classes, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple.
Now, the Bible also tells us in chapter 7, also in chapter 8, that the Spirit of God is to dwell in us. That's God's holy connection with us, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. You cannot deny. And the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what is it? He is none of His. What's the purpose of the Spirit of Christ being in you? That you might be strengthened in being the type of person that you know you ought to be.
Well, I guess I better move on. The Spirit of Christ will dwell in you. You can quench it. You can put it out. But when you become a child of God, God promises you through His word that His Spirit can and will dwell in you. That is the only basic connection. Well, why all of this? You are made up of a trichotomized existence. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And let me tell you before I leave this, as I talk to you about run the race and don't throw in the towel, body, soul and spirit, the devil will work on you in one of those three areas of or all of those areas. The devil is not after the world. He has the world. You want to know why there's so much going on in the church that could cause division? The devil is after the church of Christ. He wants to do that which he does not have already. Amen, Waltz. That's what he wants. But God has given us a spirit that helps us to be strong, helps us to continue on, helps us to become the people that we want to be. And this is through, as the brother was teaching in Sunday school, your knowledge of the word of God, your praying for strength in the way of God. This is how this comes about, because you have the spirit in you, but the spirit can die if you don't give power to that which you already have. Now, I say this, not knowing any of you, but I say this because I know behind every face there's a problem that you can wrestle with. And I'm saying this to say, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you can do it today. You can become united with Him today. The Spirit can dwell in you. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, there's a law there. What is this law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We're talking about the governing power. God can give it to you, church. Don't put it out of your life. Your attitude towards the Spirit of God will determine your latitude. There's another story I'd like to tell you, but I need to go on to the next point. When you are running this race, don't stop running and don't throw in the towel. Now, when you're running this race, remember I said that man got in the crib with the baby? God gets in that crib with you. You don't see him. But he's there with you. Even unto the end of the world, he'll be there with you. Let's go to the next thing about all of this. God, when not necessarily in with you, God is there to hold you up. God is able to work behind the curtain. I call it work behind the curtain. I used to do theater when I was teaching, and I loved doing theater. And there are times when, and I can give you, one of you, you probably remember this play, A Raisin in the Sun. We did A Raisin in the Sun. And there are times when the scene changed, and my crew were working behind the curtain to bring in another scene. And as the lights would go out, and the scene was changing, somebodies were working behind the scene. What I'm saying to you, as you face the problems of life, God can work behind the scenes. You only see right now. God is able to see way over there. If you trust in him, he is able to deliver you. You know, we know what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God works behind the scene. Let me tell you this story, and I know I have to draw on to a conclusion. This was a true story. This was a lady who loved God, who worshiped God, who believed in God, who was a servant of God, who worked at this particular office on the third floor. And she knew that there was going to be some changes on the third floor, but she had no idea that she would get fired from the changes on the third floor. And she was told by her boss, I'm sorry, you're a good worker, but we have to get rid of some. You can't stay here. Oh, it broke her heart because she was taking care of her mother, who was also depending on her at her house. And as she had gathered all of her stuff together with tears in her eyes, got the stuff and put it in her car, driving home wondering, how am I going to take care of mother and take care of my apartment at least for a month before I would receive some type of token of money? Somebody, a man, ran a red light and hit her car. Now there's another problem. Do you follow me, church? There's another problem. What's the next problem? My car is wrecked. My mother is home. I don't have a job. What am I going to do? Well, let me tell you, God works behind the curtain. Now, when there were people who would come to my play, they knew that behind the curtain that was something going on, that there was some movement, that there was some changing going on. And I want you to know, if you are going through, no, not if you're going through, when you are going through the problems of life, if you are holding on to God, if you have asked that you be united with God, he'll either get in the crib with you, or the same God will be working behind the curtain for you. You are looking at right now, he's looking at way over yonder. He's looking at what's possible for your life. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a gentleman, and I stretch the word in calling him gentleman, who comes on in Houston, Texas, and he has a great audience, and he talks about God's going to bless you today. Sometimes God does not bless you that day. He may not bless you that week, that month, that year, but he's working behind the curtain for you. That's the God that you serve. I came to bring lessons to people who had problems. Now, if nobody has a problem, get out. She had a wreck. She was put in the hospital. And while in the hospital, she worried. She was ready to, in a sense, throw in the towel because she didn't know how she was going to make it. When she began to get better, she would go to rooms and talk with people about the Word of God, about the Bible, about her relationship with the Lord. And as this process continued, she stopped in one room where there was a boy. He was about 10 years old, and he got hurt on the bicycle, and he wanted to leave there so bad, but she would talk with him. She would counsel with him. They would watch television together. And one day, the boy's father came in, and the boy's father saw what she was doing, and he questioned her and found out what had happened. And later on, during the month, the boy's father would come and go, but one of those days in that month, the boy's father came to her and said, "Are you sure that's where you got fired?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, look, I've seen what you've done with my son, and I appreciate what you've done for my son, but what you don't know, I've bought that whole store out, and I'm making you over floor number 3. I'm giving you that power." Do you see what I'm saying, church? I can't tell you when God is going to do something for you, but I can tell you, if you hold on, if you keep the faith, if you have trust in God, God will not let you down. He knows the right time to move, not you. He knows the right people to put in your life, not you. There is so much more, but I will, in concluding, I will say this. Let God have the chance. Don't throw in the towel. An example of this from the Bible is Joseph. You know what happened to Joseph, don't you? Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because Joseph was looked at and admonished by his father more than they were. And he went with the brothers on a tour of responsibility given by his father. And they sold him to the Midianites, I believe. And there, here, his brothers selling him. Sometime your closest so-called friend can sell you out. If it's no long more than gossip. Child, now I ain't gossiping. You're lying. But Joseph's brothers sold him, and he ended up a servant in Egypt. Joseph ran, but he ran from the right thing. The wife of Potiphar said, "Lie with me." I don't know if he ran like a burnt dog or not, but I'd like to think he ran like a burnt dog. He said, "I can't do this." And she lied on him. Have you ever tried to do what was right, and in doing what was right, you were still put down? You know what I'm saying? She lied on him, and he ended up in prison. But Joseph had a dream. The dream was before he went with his brothers. Joseph's outlook on his dream was stronger than where he was and what he was having to do. And Joseph's next dream came from the standpoint of he knew that Egypt would be in trouble if they did not organize their food supply. And when he told the Pharaoh that story, the Pharaoh made him second in command. He was over all the food supply. And you know the story. That's why I'm just kind of generalizing it. His brothers had to come to Egypt for food. If you do what is right, God's going to get a hold of the person who's doing you wrong. You don't have to do it. God can do it. And if God is doing it, nobody can stop it. He can take care of you. So what am I saying? Don't throw in the towel. Don't let your past determine your future. Understand that God still is. From everlasting to everlasting, he was and he still is God. And you can say with all assurance, "I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I have given to him against that day." Because when God works in your life and you see that it was only God who did it, the next problem that comes to you, you again know that God can do it. You know that he can work in your life. You can say, as the writer said, "I was young. Now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You can say, "They that wait upon the Lord What's going to happen? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's when God is in your life. That's when God is working for you. Even within the body of Christ, I have some colleagues who have said, I don't see how Frazier could teach that long in a Catholic university on base. I don't see how he can do it. He must not be teaching the truth. He must be kind of stepping around the truth. But that's, I'll tell you, and God knows, that's not it. That's not it. I've had only one student to walk out of my class. And that student walked out. I didn't even know he was gone. That's the truth. Because what happens is, the way I'm coming towards you is the way I teach. I know what's in my notes, I know what I want to say, and I passed him, he walked out. But here was what he did. He then called the dean and told the dean that he wanted to apologize to me. The dean called me a few days later, and I said, oh, he walked out? Because there are times when military personnel have to go in a little bit early or something like that. And she told me this, I said, well, today, I don't have to talk with him. Well, she wanted to talk with him. So as we sat down, he said, what made me angry is because you said babies should not be sprinkled. In fact, nobody should be sprinkled or poured water on. He said, and I was sprinkled as a baby, and that angered me. Uh-huh, okay. Let me ask you something, young man. Do you know the hermeneutical exegesis of the word baptize? He said, no. I said, I want you to remember this. Right in front of the dean, I told him this. You student, me teacher. I want you to remember that. And you know that young man, what was funny to me, it was about 2 years ago. The next year, that young man was in my class, and I like to know who I have, and I'd like to know who's taken a course from me already. Oh, I can't teach Catholic Catholicism. They have somebody teach that, but all the other courses I teach. I like to have that. And I said, who's taken me before? And he raised his hand, and I looked at him, I said, you've been in my class before? He said, you don't remember me? I said, no. He said, thank you, Jesus. He came back for more instruction. And I end by saying to you, when you face trials, and you will face trials, they are given to you to make you stronger in the Lord, not to weaken you in the Lord. So take the attitude, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you overcome one problem, Satan will eventually bring another one. But you know what God did last year, and you know what he can do this year and the years to come. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can have that strength to stand even when you want to bend. When Satan wants you to bend, because as I said, Satan will attack you from your body, soul, or your spirit. One of those three areas. You're trachotomized. You know that, right? You are trachotomized. How can we be three in one? Well, let's look at this building. This building is a three in one building. They couldn't build it until they knew what was going to be three, what's going to be one or two or three. Well, how is it a three in one? There is height, space, and depth. Three in one. Time! Three in one. What time is it? Past, present, and future. You! Three in one. Body, soul, and spirit. And I am. telling you this. Satan will work on one of your weak areas. It could be body, soul, or spirit, or he can get in there and work on all three. With Job, he worked on all three.
Yes, sir.
Body, soul, sickness, soul, all my children were killed. That hurt me. That didn't change him. He said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Brother Frazier, how did he work in your spirit? You ask good questions. Now don't get angry with me, sisters. Sister Joe came and said, why don't you curse God and die? And Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. Church, I got to conclude now, but you're not going to understand everything that happened to you. You're not going to sometimes understand the why that happened to you. But you can give it to God. Let him deal with it. As I am to give you an example of what I'm saying, Job wondered. Job said, if I could just talk to him, if I could just talk to him to find out why did he let this happen to me, all my children were killed. Why is it that I have this problem of sickness? And why is it that my wife said, curse God and die? If I could just talk to him. Now, in the Frazier way of speaking, God says, you want to talk with me? Gird yourself up. Let's talk. But before we talk, let me ask you some questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who can wrap the clouds in the swaddling and tell the waters come get us? But don't come any further. Job said, I should have questioned God. God knows what he's doing. Give him time. And if you're not a child of God, if you've not done what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the taking away of your sins so you can receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit in your life,